Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for taking time for your Pesach preparations to engage in a few minutes of Talmud Torah, trying to gain a better understanding of the mitzvah of Sipitzias Mitzrayim. And as was mentioned, the shiur today, both shiurim are dedicated in memory of our uncle, A.B. Adler, who was a first-rate Talmud Chacham, had the opportunity before he moved to Chile and met his wife, to learn with the Rav, Zichrono Livracha, and he was the sweetest human being around. I've never saw him raise his voice. He was just an incredible role model for his children, one of whom is here now. Sammy is here. He can confirm, and he doesn't need confirmation because you can believe me. He was just a wonderful human being and an outstanding Talmud Chacham, and was pleasant to talk to, was makbid on tefillah b'tzibur, was makbid on speaking nicely to everybody, and it is just our pleasure, my brother and I's pleasure, to dedicate, an honor to dedicate these shiurim l'zecher nishmato. What I would like to do is try to give a framework of how the Haggadah was constructed and focus on various paragraphs within the framework of the Haggadah. But the Rav once, on many occasions actually, developed the following theme, that the first five or six paragraphs of the Haggadah, beginning with Avadam Ayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim, Masa B'Rabbi Elezer, which I'm not going to elaborate much on because my brother is going to focus on it, the first couple of paragraphs actually set the agenda for Pesach at night. So I'd like to begin with that idea of try to show how the Haggadah is structured and how each of the paragraphs teaches us something about the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the story itself of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim does not begin until later on in the Haggadah, and we'll identify that part as well. So everybody knows that the first paragraph ends of Mitzvah Aleinu Lisaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. On account of the fact, we have the headline. Headline is Avadim Hayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim Vayotzienu Hashem Elokeinu Misham. 210 years of history capsuled in one phrase. Avadim Hayinu Vayotzienu Hashem Elokeinu Misham. And on account of that, Mitzvah Aleinu Lisaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. There is a mitzvah to engage in Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim. The subsequent paragraphs will fill in some of the details about this particular mitzvah. One, that despite the fact that you think you might know the entire story, and most of us actually do know the entire story, so one would have imagined that if I already know the story, why do I have to retell the story? It would be a little boring, repeating something which I think I already know. Says the Baal Haggadah, no. We tell the story of Maaseh, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, who were certainly individuals who knew the story of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim, and nonetheless engaged in the mitzvah of Sipur Kol Oto Halayla. So the Mishnah, the Baal Haggadah, we don't know who the author of the Haggadah is. Whoever the Baal Haggadah is, selected this story to confirm that even though you might be totally familiar with the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, nonetheless, Mitzvah Aleinu Lisaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah is for us to engage in Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim. If Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Yoshua engaged in the mitzvah, so too are we obligated to engage in the mitzvah. So the second paragraph offers support for the premise. Premises mitzvah, despite the fact that I know the story incredibly well, nonetheless, as Rabbi Yehoshua and those four other Tanaim fulfilled the mitzvah, we are obligated to do the exact same thing. The third paragraph states, Amar lahem Rabbi Lazar ben Azaria, Harei ani ki ben shivim shana, velo zachisi shetayame yitzias Mitzrayim balelot, ad shedarsha ben Zoma. Rabbi Lazar ben Azaria says, in effect, he is going to give us an incredible definition of the mitzvah of Sipitzias Mitzrayim. And he says, lo zachisi shetayomer yitzias Mitzrayim balelos, ad shedarsha ben Zoma. So this paragraph does not necessarily focus on the activity of tonight, of Pesach at night. The mitzvah of Zechirat Yetzias Mitzrayim applies every day and every night. So why is the Baal Haggadah selecting this particular Mishnah found at the end of the first parak of Masechet Brachot? Why is he introducing this into the Haggadah if we're not talking about the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of telling the story related to Pesach at night, but rather an activity that we engage in every day and every night? And the answer is because it wants to demonstrate how significant the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim actually is. It's not a one and done that you engage on the night of the 15th about the heroic episodes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he saved Am Yisrael dramatically, but it has an impact on our life throughout the entire year. And that impact is succinctly mentioned through the mitzvah of Zechirat Yetzias Mitzrayim. So when I engage in the mitzvah of Zechirah, I elaborate and demonstrate that the mitzvah, that the events of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the events of the Exodus itself, have had an impact upon our lives all year long. Every day and every night, I engage in some degree of mentioning Yetziat Mitzrayim. And it goes slightly beyond that as well. The mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, as you well know, takes place within the framework of Kriyat Shema. We recite the third paragraph of the Shema, and we say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, asher hotzeiti etchem mi'eretz Mitzrayim, liyot lachem l'Elohim. That is the mitzvah of Zechirat Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it plays a role in that which we consider the defining act of belief, of emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, beginning with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, concluding with the parcha of Tzitzis, tells us that we make our declaration that we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day of our life. That, however, is a mitzvah on the yachid. Each individual is obligated to recite the Shema. The Seder, particularly the mitzvot of Korban Pesach, remind us of the obligation of the tzibur to engage in the mitzvah of Zechirat Yetzias Mitzrayim. Basically, the Seder is not an activity that takes place independently. Yes, if unfortunately somebody is totally alone, the mitzvah is to recite the entire Haggadah nonetheless. But primarily, what we're looking for is interaction, dialogue between adult and particularly children. And that the way through which we observe the mitzvah of Sipitzias Mitzrayim is interaction between one and another. It's exactly the way you sit in a Beit Midrash. So you sit over there, your partner sits opposite you, and you sit and engage in the tug of war of Talmud Torah. And the same thing is taking place Pesach at night. Essentially, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a misnomer. It's not a story time. If we were looking to tell stories about the exodus of Mitzrayim, I would open up a chumash and read Parshat Va'ere, Bo, and Bishalach, and I would read the entire story. But the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, emphasized the Rav, is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, not a mitzvah of Sipur. It's a mitzvah of studying and learning. And there are paragraphs with the unnamed Balagada, which he selected from Mishnayot and included them in the Haggadah itself. This paragraph, Omer Lehen Rabbi Elazar ben Azayi, as I just said, is one of them. It's from Masechet Brachot. Others are from the end of Masechet Psachim. It's taken straight without a change. So the definition of the mitzvah is not to tell a story, but rather to engage in serious learning about the episode of Yetzias Mitzrayim. In fact, the Mishnah uses the expression about one of the central paragraphs, Vidoresh Kol HaParsha Kula, which is the Parsha of Arami Yoyved Avi, which we recite right after Vehi Shamda. So Arami Yoyved Avi, you're supposed to be Doresh, and Doresh is not storytelling. It's to interpret, reading Torah Shebiktav, combining it with Torah Shebaal Peh, the Midrashic interpretation. So we engage in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah throughout the night of Pesach, and that's why Kol Marbe L'Saper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim Harezeh Meshubach. If it was simply story time, you can read the story, as I said, from the Parshiot of the Torah to describe it, and that's it. But if it's Talmud Torah, the more an individual engages in elaborating, in interpreting, in trying to find new ideas in the Haggadah every single year, that enables us to recognize why Kol HaMarbe L'Saper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim Harei Ze Meshubach. So that is the contribution made by the third paragraph of the Haggadah. Now, once we are called upon to learn, we are going to recite Birchot HaTorah. We recite Birchot HaTorah every single day of our lives. And in fact, Chazal made sure that we actually learn something. Right after we recite the brachot of Birchot HaTorah, in your Siddur, in my Siddur, is printed Birchat Kohanim, the Mishnah and the Brayta, Elu Devarim Shein Lohem Shir, and so on and so forth. So you're supposed to learn something. Pesach at night, whenever there is an obligation to read something specific, you have to make Birchot HaTorah again. So right now, at this moment, 10:32, the choice of what you wanted to learn today is totally up to you. You happen to have chosen to come and learn about the Haggadah. But if you wanted to learn Chumash and Rashi, be my guest. You want to learn Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, you want to learn Brachos, be my guest. Pesach at night, you don't have a choice. You have to learn about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So if somebody were to open up a Gemara and learn Masechet Ta'anit, he would not fulfill the mitzvah of tonight, of the mitzvah of Pesach at night. So whenever you are called upon to learn something specific, you're obligated to recite another Birchot HaTorah. I'll give you an illustration. When you bring Bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash, Bikurim are your first fruits, beginning with the Yom Tov of Shavuot. We bring Bikurim, in fact, Shavuot is called Ubiyom HaBikurim. That's what we read on for the Maftir of Shavuos, Ubiyom HaBikurim. So when you bring Bikurim, not only are you obligated to bring the first fruits to the Mikdash, you have to read a certain parsha as well. It's called Mikra Bikurim. On Pesach at night, we're going to darshan that entire parsha. Arami Yovid Avi is the parsha of Mikra Bikurim. And the Mechilta tells us that when you come to the Beit HaMikdash with your fruits, you have to make Birchot HaTorah. Because when you bring the Bikurim, you can't read the Aseres HaDibrot and fulfill the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. You can't read Kriya Shema. You have to read Arami Oved Avi, Vayered Mitzrayma, Vayagasham Bimsei Miyat, concluding with the Pasuk, Vayivienu El HaMakom Hazeh. Thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, having brought us to Eretz Yisrael, and we have an opportunity to reap the crops from the land that you gave us. So there is a mitzvah Birchat HaTorah. Here too, where we are called upon to learn something specific, namely about the mitzvah of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the episode of Yitziat Mitzrayim, therefore I have to make Birchot HaTorah. And that's the next paragraph. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Shenatan Torah Le'amo Yisrael, which is a shortened version of Birchot HaTorah. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who gave us the Torah. Asher nasan lanu Torat Emet. Same thing. Baruch Shenatan Torah Le'amo Yisrael. And because of the fact that it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, therefore, it's Kineged Arba'a Banim Dibra Torah. If you're talking about a story can be appreciated and understood by everyone equally. There are no differences between the Rav HaRashi and anyone here, myself included, in understanding a story. We don't need different levels. But if the mitzvah is Talmud Torah, it depends on what your experience is, how much background you have, and how you are capable of articulating the questions and hopefully the answers to your questions. Hence, since there is a specific obligation, we make Birchot HaTorah, Baruch Shenatan Torah L'Amo Yisrael, Echad Tam, Echad Chacham, Echad Tam, Echad Rasha, V'Echad She'eino Yedei Lishol. You have to respond to the child in accordance with the questions that the child asks. And if you're engaging in Talmud Torah, if you have a child who is a real chacham, so it is incumbent upon parent to be able to challenge that chacham son. If he's simply a tam, then giving him the basic story might be enough. We're not going to focus on the rasha today, but there are a myriad of interpretations as to what the dialogue between parent and child who happens to be identified as a rasha. What certain parshanim point out is that there is still hope for a rasha by virtue of the fact that he happens to be sitting there at your table, which is significant. If he was totally rebellious and not interested at all, he would be hanging out someplace, wherever people hang out in Tel Aviv on Pesach night. I don't know if there's anybody who hangs out Pesach night on Dizengoff. I would hope not. But that's why you have the distinctions, because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the essence of the mitzvah of Pesach at night. And then the last halacha is when this mitzvah takes place. So the Baal HaKodah tells us, Yachol Merosh Chodesh. Should I begin this mitzvah of Sipi Tzias Mitzrayim on Rosh Chodesh? Talmud Lomar, no, Bayom Ahu. I Bayom Ahu Yachol Mibon Yom. Perhaps if it just said Bayom Ahu, maybe it means Erev Pesach during the day. Talmud Lomar Bavur Ze. Bavur Ze Lo Amarti Ela Bishah Shiesh Matzah Umaror Munachim Lefonecha. That is the Lashon of the Mechilta. Not Pesach Matzah Umaror, but Matzah Umaror Munachim Lefonecha. Obviously referring to a galut mentality, and a galut mentality unfortunately does not have the Korban Pesach. So you want to know, when is this mitzvah? When the mitzvah of matzah and maror take place. And when does the mitzvah of matzah and maror? V'achlu balayla hazeh tzliyeshu matzot al merorim yachlu. Torah tells you, balayla hahu, on that night, which is the night of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, as indicated again by the pasuk Bo'erev Tochlu Matzot, to eat matzah at night. So as you have just seen, the first five or six paragraphs do not tell us anything about Yetzias Mitzrayim. They don't mention the word Shibud, the enslavement. They don't tell us how we got out, what miracles HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed. The first five paragraphs are simply laying the groundwork for the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is going to take place on that particular night. And tells us who's obligated, when you're obligated, and the quality of the mitzvah being a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which people don't always think along those lines, but it certainly is true. Yeah, that's point number one. Yeah, I'd like to focus for a second on the opening paragraph of our Haggadah, which was the only paragraph in the Haggadah not necessarily taken from the Mishnah or Braita in Masechet Psachim. The rest of it is all in Masechet Psachim. Ha Lachma Anya is not in Masechet Psachim. It was added later. I'll leave it to the historians. My brother's an historian. And he'll tell you when exactly that was inserted into the Haggadah, but it certainly, post-Talmudic era, no doubt, probably after the Rabbanan Sfurai as well. So this particular paragraph was identified by someone and to include it in the Haggadah itself. And the question is, why is it there? Why can't I start the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim the way we just described it? What's after the paragraph of Yochol Me'Rosh Chodesh, Talmud Lomar Bayom Ahu? What comes next? What comes next? What's the next paragraph in the Haggadah? What's the next paragraph in the Haggadah? New Rabotai? Baruch Shem, right, no, even before. No, Baruch Shem, that's after Vihish Amda. What comes before that? What? No, Manashtan is before. So what comes right after Kol Yimei Chayecha Yamim, Kol Yimei Chayecha Halelot, and that's when you are obligated to engage in Sipur Yetzias, the time factor, what begins next? Mitchila hayu oivdei avodah zarah avoseinu. Okay, now starts the story. Am Yisrael were a bunch of idolaters. V'achshav kervanu hamakom lavodoso. Why don't I start the recitation of Sipur with the way it should start, based on I just described the opening paragraphs? Now comes the beginning of the story. Why do I throw in the beginning of the Haggadah of Holach Ma'anya at the very beginning before any questions are asked? So there are, of course, a variety of suggestions. There are those who say that once you, in effect, recite Kiddush, Pesach at night, there are some who say you've actually fulfilled the bare minimum of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. What do I say in Kiddush? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified us. Why? Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. I remember what happened at the end of Mitzrayim. In fact, the Magen Avraham claims that Biddi Eved, if all else fails, and all you did is make Kiddush and say Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, you will yotzei the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a very difficult position. For after all, Pesach's night is not like Shavuos night, or every Friday night when we say Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. But anyhow, that's what he says. So why is it that this particular paragraph has to be placed at the beginning of the Haggadah? So some suggest that it is for the following reason. David Raham suggests this and says that since you are in effect yotzei the bare bones minimum of Sipi Yetzirah by the recitation of Kiddush, I don't want anybody to think that they've already fulfilled the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. I don't want you to think that. So I'm going to make a statement even before I start the questions, even before my children engage in directing queries to me. I'm going to make a statement about Ha Lach Ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction, to remind us that the ultimate Ge'ula has not yet come. I'm about to sit down. According to the Magen Avraham, I fulfilled my mitzvah by the recitation of Kiddush. But don't think that I have fulfilled the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim properly. I want a couple of things to be known. Number one, I am still eating Lechem Oni. We are still in Galut. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, but the Galut, the ultimate Ge'ula, is yet to come. The ultimate Ge'ula is yet to come. And hence, it is advisable or important, instructive, to recite the texts relating to the first Ge'ula. Perhaps they will teach us something about how to conduct ourselves to deserve the next Ge'ula. So we recite Ha Lach Ma'anya to let everybody know we are still in Galut. We have experienced the first Ge'ula, but not yet the ultimate Ge'ula. And I want everybody to know that if you follow the pattern of that which the Haggadah will outline, perhaps this will be the formula as to how we will ultimately deserve Ge'ula a second time. And that's why we conclude, Hashata Hacha, but Lashana Haba, Ba'arad Yisrael. Hashata Avdei, Lashana Haba, B'nei Chayrin. I want to make this statement right at the beginning, because sometimes people think that I have already reached the stage of the ultimate Gula, having been redeemed once by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Mitzrayim. And we want people to know that that's not necessarily the case. You know, we thank the Ribbono Shel'olam wholeheartedly for Medinat Yisrael, but if you're in Medinat Yisrael, it's a little more difficult to imagine, you know, what is next in line for an ultimate Geula. One could have, you know, I would say Halal and Haidar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day for the creation of Medinat Yisrael. And I would say that is, you know, the ultimate Geula. Just send the little Messiah, send Mashiach, and we're all done. So at the beginning of the Haggadah, the Baal Haggadah wants you to know that I am not, even though I'm experiencing, recreating the drama of Yetzias Mitzrayim, even if you recite the entire Haggadah, say every Dvar Torah about the Haggadah, I want you to recognize we are still Hashata Hacha. And even if we're in Eretz Yisrael, it's still not yet the Ge'ula for which Am Yisrael is awaiting. So the opening paragraph of Holach Ma'anya is designed to put a reality check that despite the fact that I fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur, and I do it perfectly well, and I can actually experience an element of Chayrus, I drink my four cups of wine and actually feel an element of freedom. And as I said a minute ago, in Medinat Yisrael, it's very easy to think of that and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he has done for Am Yisrael, particularly after the Shoah. Nonetheless, it's still not the total picture. It's not the total end. So we put this at the very beginning, not to get our hopes up high as we go through the rest of the Haggadah. There are still things that have to unfold for Am Yisrael going forward. For Am Yisrael going forward. Yeah. One of the highlights of the Haggadah is taken from the Mishnah in Psachim, where the Mishnah says, Tzei ulmad, ma bikesh lavan ha'arami, sheparo lo gazar el ala zecharim, and lavan bikesh la'akor et hakol. You should think about, I'm not going to focus on it, what does the phrase Tzei ulmad mean? Normally when you learn, you're not going outside. You go out to learn. You come into the Beis Medrash. You come into your home. So what exactly is the significance of the word Tzei introducing Arami Ovid Avi? That's one thing to think about. And you'll pass that question along to all your guests. They'll all be stifled. Tzei ulmad. And the Baal Haggadah says that Shelovan Parola Gazolazharm Lovan Bikeshla Akoratakol. Everybody is puzzled. Where in the world do we see that Lovan Bikesh La Akoratakol? There is nothing in the Torah text that indicates anything of such a matter. Doesn't say Lovan try to do anything. So everybody relies on a midrash. What midrash? That when Eliezer came to seek a wife, a wife, on behalf of Yitzchak, so Lavan, or maybe somebody else in the family, wanted to poison his food. And then, if Eliezer had not returned back to Avraham, Yitzchak would be married to somebody, perhaps, who he had no idea who he was married to. And as a result, he might not be able to, marry anybody else, if you believe in the fact that you can't have two wives. So therefore, Lavan, who tried to poison Eliezer, Bikesh Lakar Sakol. So the angel came and switched the plate, and everybody knows Besuel died and not Eliezer. That's the midrash which people rely on. So I'd like to share with you another explanation based on the events that are described in Parshat Vayetze, a lengthy description of Yaakov's leaving Lavan's house. So Yaakov works for Lavan for 20 years. And then Yaakov senses that the relationship between himself and Lavan has changed. Einenu iti kitmol shilshom. I just can't put my finger on it. But he's not exactly treating me in the same fashion. He's not talking to me the same way. Fine, but it doesn't say how. But if you look at the episode then, Yaakov sneaks out at night, doesn't even bother saying goodbye to his father-in-law, doesn't allow the grandchildren to come say goodbye, and Lavan is a little upset, and he pursues them. And he argues with Yaakov and says, why are you running away? I've treated you so nicely. Why are you running away? If Yaakov had remained in Lavan's house, what would have happened to Yaakov's commitment to Yahadut? After all, Chazal believe that the Avot and Imahot all observed the Torah, even prior to its being given at Har Sinai. So what would Am Yisrael have looked like had they not left Lavan's possession, his dira, his residence, and indeed remained in Lavan's household? So in all probability, and that was Lavan's objective, to keep Yaakov under his control, they would ultimately abandon their commitment to Torah and mitzvot, whatever Torah and mitzvot meant at that time, and would follow the lifestyle of the head of household, of Lavan. And that was Lavan's clear intention. And when he runs after them, he wants them to come back. It's just that Yaakov says, no, loy mitan aleph, he says, I'm not coming back. But his intention was to bring them back. And by bringing them back, what would have happened? Yaakov would abandon his commitment to whatever religious mitzvot he had, and he would have adopted the lifestyle of Lavan. In that respect, Lavan bikesh la'akoret hakol. Lavan wanted to eradicate everything, because Am Yisrael, as it was constituted at that moment, was Yaakov and his family. That's it. The Shivim Ish, the 70 people that he had. Beyond that, there was no one else. So if Lavan had succeeded in convincing Yaakov, number one, never to leave, and even to if he already left, to return him back to Lavan's household, who knows if Yaakov could have resisted the temptation of not engaging in idolatrous behavior, not following his father-in-law's lead, and who knows what would have happened. So in that respect, Lavan bikesh la'akoret hakol. And you don't have to go to a medrash, you don't have to darshan. That's the flow of the psukim in Parshas Vayetze. That's exactly what the pasuk tells us would have happened had Yaakov gone back to Lavan's household. And the mere fact that Yaakov was remained steadfast and did not go back to Lavan's household enabled him to maintain loyalty to whatever degree of mitzvot he knew of. And for this reason, Chazal understood that Lavan bikesh la'akor et hakol, that Lavan wanted to eradicate everything. And And immediately after this event, what does the Torah tell us? That Yaakov nasa ledarko, and where did he come to? Machanayim. Came to Machanayim. And Machanayim, according to many, is a camp of where Torah is going to be given. That's what some interpreted. And Yaakov is amplifying, I'm coming to the place whereby I will have an opportunity to accept the rest of the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu going forward and not have to worry about the negative influences of his father-in-law, Lavan. His father-in-law, Lavan. Yeah. I had mentioned the connection to the mitzvah of Kriya Shema and the similarities of the mitzvah of Sipitzias Mitzrayim. The Rambam tells us that there are three themes in Kriya Shema. Yichud Hashem, designating HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Echad, unique. Ahavat Hashem, v'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha. Now listen to the next phrase. V'talmudo, shehu ha'ikar, shehakol talui bo. What's the most important element of Kriya Shema? The mitzvah v'shinantam livanecha. Because everything depends on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And here is another link to Sipitzias Mitzrayim. There's Vishinantam Livanecha and Vihigadata Labincha, to engage in telling your child about Sipitzias Mitzrayim. And because, and I would add the same phrase, Shehakol Talui Bo. Everything depends upon Yetzias Mitzrayim. Had we not been taken out of Mitzrayim, there would have been no entry into Eretz Yisrael, and who knows what the history of Am Yisrael would have turned into. So again, there is this link between Kriyat Shema and the mitzvah of Sipitzias Mitzrayim. And Kriyat Shema primarily, as I said, is a mitzvah for the Yachid, and the Sipitzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah for basically for the Tzibur, for the collective community group. There are, I want to share with you an incredible kutzker. We know that there is a halacha of smichut geula litfila. It's the basis of the structure of our entire davening, that we do not engage in tfila until we acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who delivered us from Mitzrayim. Then, once you acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you out of Mitzrayim, and ipso facto, as well, takes care of all of our personal needs, once you acknowledge that, you can go ahead and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the pasuk at the beginning of Parshat Shmot tells us the same thing. Vayhi bayamim harabim ha'heim, Vayeyonchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avodah. Am Yisrael were agonizing over the workload that was placed on them by Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Then, v'ta'al shavatam el Elohim, when they prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the next thing that unfolds, is Perigimel. Moshe Rabbeinu is now being summoned to be the Goel of Am Yisrael. But until Vata'al Shavatam El Elohim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting like this. He could have taken us out way before the 210 years had lapsed. But he chose not to. He waited until Am Yisrael recognized that their Ge'ulah is dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And until that, nothing happens. Nothing happens. So the Kutzker commented on the Pasuk, which we chant aloud on Rosh Hashanah in the Bracha of Malchuyot, where we declare, Ani Rishon Va'ani Acharon. I am first and I am last. Says the Kutzker, if you have a person who was an usher, a wealthy individual, and suddenly his business takes a dive, see, he tells his wife, we have to somehow cut down our expenses. But he decided that for vacations, clothing, and entertainment, that's not going to be included in the cuts. What is going to be included in the cuts? They're going to reduce the amount of tzedakah that they give. They're going to reduce the amount of money that they spend on a lulav and esrog. Says the Kutzker, Ani Rishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that when things get tough, I am the first one who suffers. Ani Rishon. They're not cutting down their expenses. They're not cutting down their vacations. Ani Rishon. I'm getting cut first. And then what happens? Somebody gets sick, and they run from doctor to doctor. And when the doctor says there's nothing to do, then they turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and start praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Ani Acharoin. I'm the last person they turn to. So to some degree, that is why the halacha of Pesach is that Ein HaPesach Ne'echal Ela Al HaSova. You can't eat the Korban Pesach when you're hungry. It might be related to another halacha The Torah states in Parshat Bo, Ve'etzem lo sishperu bo. You're not permitted to break a bone of the Korban Pesach. So we all know that if we're hungry and we're served chicken with bones, we often, you know, take a bite, chew those bones as well. So in order to make sure that you don't violate the halacha of Ve'etzem lo sishperu bo, that is why you're only allowed to eat the Korban Pesach while you're already satiated. However, the Kutzker said, continuing his thought from before, that that the greatest nisayon to remain loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when you're satiated. When you're in desperate need of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's salvation, you're poor, you're sick, you're in galut, you're being oppressed, it's not difficult to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's Vayishman Yeshurun. When Am Yisrael are fat, everything is going well. So what is the next word, says the Torah in Parshat Hazinu? Vayivat. That's when you rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the greatest challenge, and that's why the halacha is, Ein HaPesach Ne'echal Ela Al HaSova. Not because I want to make sure that you don't break a bone. It's because being Al HaSova creates the greatest challenge of remaining loyal unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And for this reason, in order to counter the Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat, therefore the halacha is Ein HaPesach Ne'echal Ela Al HaSova. Ela Al HaSova. Yeah. There is a famous machloket between Hillel and Shammai towards the end of the Haggadah, the end of Mitzvah's Magid. At the end of Magid, we recite some form of Hallel. The bracha of Hallel is reserved for the fourth kos. In fact, on the fourth kos, all we do is say Hallel. We start with Loilanu, and then we recite Nishmas and Yishtabach. However, before the conclusion of Magid, the Baal Haggadah tells us that Lefikach anachnu chayavim lehodot ulahalel lishabeach lefoel leromem lahader levarech laaleu lekales. Because of what I just described, I have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that which he did. So we recite Hallel. Beit Shammai says you just say the first paragraph, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem. And then, after benching, when you recite the fourth kos, on the fourth kos, you start with B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim. That's Shammai. We don't follow Shammai. We follow Hillel. Hillel says, before the Suda, at the end of Magid, we recite two paragraphs of Hallel. Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem, and B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim. And then, after the meal, when we pick up the fourth kos, we start with the third paragraph, Loi lanu Hashem Elokeinu lanu. What is the machloikes between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai? Why does one say you say only the first paragraph, and one says, which our practice to say, the second paragraph as well? So Shammai is very easy to understand. Shammai says, I want to save the paragraph of B'tzeit Yisrael Mimitzrayim for the bracha of Hallel, for the fourth kos. Why are we doing all these things tonight? Why are we going to say a lengthy thank you to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Because of B'tzeit Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Because he took us out of Mitzrayim. Therefore, I know that the Baal Haggadah tells us that as soon as you are, after you finish telling the story, Chayavim lehodot ulahalel, you have to say something. So you say the first paragraph, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem. You conclude, Moshivi akeret habayit eim habanim smecha, Hallelujah. Now you say the bracha of the Haggadah, Asher Ga'alanu. You eat your meal, and now you start the bracha of Hallel with B'tzeit Yisrael Mimitzrayim. That's Shammai, and it makes a lot of sense. However, Hillel says, no. Once I am obligated to say Hallel. I am obligated to say Hallel before the meal for what episode in Jewish history? The episode of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why we're here tonight. So once I say Lefikach Anachnu Chayavim Lehodot Ulahalel, it's not just Lehodot Ulahalel about anything in the world. It is Lehodot Ulahalel about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hence, you have to recite that paragraph as well, B'tzeit Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim, even before the meal. So what is the Hallel after the meal? If I already thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'tzeis Yisrael, what is the Hallel after the meal? So here is a Yesoid, which we find in many other locations. Namely, that once you are required to say Hallel for a specific episode, you're obligated to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything else that he's done for you. Right? That's one example. You thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the lights, and yet we make reference to the Haman experience. We make reference to other afflictions. During the Yantav Chanukah, all the entire Moed Tzur does not focus exclusively on the drama of rekindling the menorah, but on other things as well. And there are other such examples. For example, Birchat HaMazon. What do I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Birchat HaMazon for? Not just for the food. If that was Birchat HaMazon, I would stop Hazanat HaKol, end of discussion. But I also thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Eretz Yisrael. No delecha al shinchad Eretz Chemda Tova Ruchava. So I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yerushalayim. Racheimna Hashem Elokeinu Yisrael Amecha VaYerushalayim Irecha. So there are multiple thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every time we recite Birchat HaMazon, because whenever one is obligated to recite Birchat HaGomel, thanking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even Birchat HaGomel, Hu Yigmolcha, not Tov Zeh Sela, but Hu Yigmolcha, Kol Tov Sela. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for you, I am now going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. So here too, Pesach at night, I recite, according to Hillel, the primary paragraph, B'tzeit Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim, right after I go through the Maggid. And then after benching, I recite Hallel, starting Loilanu, which is to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the myriads of things for which he has done things beneficial to me and all of Am Yisrael. And that, in effect, is the machloikis between Hillel and Shammai. So when you recite the Hallel according to our practice, following Hillel, that B'tzeit Yisrael is recited before the meal in conjunction with the Maggid, and then Loilanu is after the meal, you should think of other areas of which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been good to you and your family, and have that in mind as you recite Loilanu Hashem Elokeinu. Just want to wish everybody a wonderful Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Try to do some preparing for the Haggadah, to bring something to the table, something new, an original thought of yours, and have an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim in the manner of Kol Hamar Belisapa Yetzias Mitzrayim, Harei Zeh Meshubach.